Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, I think we missed lunch.
I know. Just work right through it.
Hey, man, there's a lot to do around here. You know, we impact a lot of lives, so we can't necessarily stop for lunch every day, can we?
No, we cannot. That is a luxury for the idle.
All right. This is going to be a fantastic segment. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast author, writer, speaker, Miss Stacy Ruth. How are you?
I'm feeling pretty spectacular today. I, however, had lunch.
You're the winner. You are the winner.
I feel like a winner.
So, Stacy Ruth, you have a new book out called Truth and Dare, Inside Out Marketing. What compelled you to write a book like this?
Well, it seems to be something that needs to be said when you've got all these books out there that talk about tactics and how to do social media and how to do content marketing and how to do integrated marketing and all of these marketing books about how to. This is really a book about why.
Why? That's kind of important nowadays, right? People
yeah.
should kind of find their why.
Absolutely.
Now, so you chose Truth and Dare. What does that mean?
Well, it's really important for organizations to be honest, not just with their customers, not just with their employees, but also with themselves internally. And to be willing to do that kind of honest look at the inside of an organization
mm-hmm.
takes a little bit of willingness to risk.
And be vulnerable.
And be vulnerable.
And be authentic.
Absolutely.
Sometimes even transparent.
Scary stuff.
These are not things for every business.
No. Well, they are things
they
for every
be.
Business.
They could be.
I wish they were for every business.
So now, why do you think it's so important for marketers to kind of think in these terms of ethics and principles?
Well, let's take a step back a little bit, because it's interesting to me, so many marketers don't agree on what marketing is. And
well, how are you defining? Let's
exactly,
define some terms.
Right?
Why don't we define some terms?
Yeah, so marketing itself, from my perspective and how I'm writing this book, is in alignment with Peter Drucker's definition, that it is everything within the business. It is every touch point. It's every employee. It's the guy on the loading dock. It's the administrative assistant. It's the brand, the logo, the advertising, you name it. That's the marketing of the organization. So it's the relationship with the customer ultimately.
Mm-hmm. So now, what's the advantage of looking at it holistically in those terms?
Well, in those terms, because I think you were talking a little bit about the ethics and the principles of that, to be able to build a relationship with a customer,
mm-hmm.
they've got to trust you. And anytime that we're going to be diverging from an ethical approach, we're diverging from taking the customer's best interest at heart, and the trust is lost.
And then by reading this book, what will I learn from that?
Well, from reading this book, you'll learn where organizations get off purpose, if they were ever on purpose in the first place, which is interesting. I'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but to question the assumptions that they may be making unconsciously under the surface that are out of alignment with their purpose and out of alignment with actually reality.
So now, are you saying that, say, my company is struggling?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it mean I'm out of alignment necessarily, or I just haven't got a clever enough marketing campaign?
Well, probably there's a lack of alignment. At mm-hmm. a very core level, clever campaigns have assumptions behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Most organizations like to congratulate themselves that they are being very careful with their research, and that they are making very calculated, logical decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are very emotional at the base, and mm-hmm. that's where the assumptions are happening. So a clever campaign based on an assumption, I think we should do this, cannot necessarily be in alignment with the reality of what the customers really need or want.
All right. Let's say now we enter Stacy Ruth world.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a company and I say, hey, I read your book. This is really strikes me to the core of who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm giving you carte blanche to run our marketing. So how do you do that? Where do you begin?
Well, what I'm really doing now, having had two agencies for 25 years, both multimillion dollar agencies, I'm not so interested in being their marketer. What I really want to do is to help their marketers be better marketers. So what I really want to do is help organizations find where those assumptions are and uncover them, look at them, say, this is a good assumption, this is a bad assumption. And in kind of clearing out where the assumptions are being made, be able to make more aligned decisions with the company's purpose. From there, I'm happy to get out of the way and let them have
wild success. So you're
trying
to be a catalyst for change in the
organization? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so now let's walk through. I'm allowing you to be a catalyst in our organization. So what are these questions you're going to ask?
Well, initially what we're going to do is take a look at where things aren't working. And organizations, especially young ones, are willing to look at that. They're willing to say, look, I've got a problem here. You know, can we look at what's going wrong? That's where we get our toehold in where the assumptions are out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking through those assumptions, we kind of walk them through each one of the issues, if you will, and help clear out the
But how do you get to the bottom of if these assumptions are like, mm-hmm. just because I think that this is so, or I think that this is where we're struggling,
mm-hmm.
it might be kind of at a different level or a subconscious level that maybe I'm not seeing it right. Like, are you the fresh eyes that are helping me kind
Absolutely,
of?
Absolutely, yes. Well, it's true of the individual in the microcosm. It's true of an organization in the macrocosm. We're too close to it.
Mm-hmm.
We need fresh eyes to be able to get perspective. Absolutely. And organizations, large or small, employees will tell you where this is not in alignment, but they're not likely to tell the management that. They're far more right. likely to tell right. an outside consultant those kinds of things.
But doesn't sometimes Yelp tell you those kind of things too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And those are the things where when that starts going wrong, you've gone far down the road with the assumptions.
It could be too late.
It can be, yeah. And so hopefully organizations that are struggling a little bit are starting to say, wait, I'm doing all the right things. I'm just not getting the results I would expect. And it's like someone who is, and I'll take it on a personal level because I really do believe that people can relate to those things often more than they can on a corporate level. Someone who says, I really want to lose weight. I've reduced my calories. I'm exercising. Why isn't this working?
It sounds like you're the voice in my head.
I've heard this voice before.
Exactly. That sounds very familiar.
So I'm doing all the right things. Why isn't it working?
Right.
Well, somewhere there's an assumption that is not in alignment with reality. And sometimes it's something like there's illness there that needs to be looked at.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things that need to be kind of tested and checked. And often that requires an outside voice.
Now, when you're working with, have you started working with companies in this regard, helping them in this area?
I'm working with two organizations right now. One of them is actually a spiritual organization that is trying to reorganize itself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're working with them and you're kind of saying, look, we're going to have to kind of dig deep here. Mm-hmm. This isn't like a 10-question assessment that you're handing out, right?
No. These are workshops that can take a day or more, depending on the size of the organization.
Right. There might be tears,
issues.
Right?
Well, I haven't had to bring Kleenex yet.
I would think
but,
there could be.
Maybe.
If you're doing it right, there should be tears.
I have one client that the tears makes very nervous.
So now, when you're working with them, and they're out of alignment, is it something that you could help them tactically fix? Or is it like, you're like, okay, you're out of alignment. We've established that. Thanks. And then they're on their own? Or is there some action plan?
No, there's
absolutely. You said you don't want to be the marketer.
Like a safety monitor. Like, we don't do anything.
Absolutely. No, there are absolutely things that can and should be done, depending on what it is. I mean, one example is a company that's having trouble with a trade show presence, and they're just not getting traffic at the trade show. And that's one issue that they're very, very focused on.
But that would
on.
Be symptomatic of a larger issue, though.
Exactly.
In your kind of philosophy, right?
Right. So as you peel back the layers of the onion and you start looking at what the assumptions are they're making around their trade show presence, are their customers even there, all of those sorts of things, often research is required to find out what the truth and the reality actually is, so that it's not somebody saying, oh, we need to be there because the competition's there.
Right. So, but then are you actually going there? Are you sending somebody there, or you're asking for video of what's happening there? Or?
It's really on a case-by-case basis, but ultimately, doing research helps tremendously. A lot of companies don't bother. And those that do don't act on the research. Actually, the majority don't act on the research
really?
They find.
So they invest in the research and then ignore it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is that a symptom of? It's not good.
and it's interesting to me because there are a lot of companies that have no interest in taking this kind of look, because what it implies is that they're doing something wrong and they're very afraid to admit that there may be error.
Is that just kind of a lack of leadership on their part, that they don't want to take responsibility or accountability?
I don't know that it's a lack of leadership. I think it's a fear of being seen as being a poor leader rather than being willing to change and adjust as a part of good leadership.
All right, but to be fair, I mean, some of this is just human nature, right? I mean, everybody's
Absolutely.
A little bit scared of not looking good. And I mean,
exactly.
this is not completely unusual for people to buy the book, get the information, listen to this podcast, and still eat chocolate cake.
Absolutely.
Even if they're trying to lose weight or whatever. Right?
Absolutely.
So there's a little bit of human nature-ness to all that.
Well, and it becomes kind of a putting your money where your mouth is, but it's also that difference between, I was just talking to somebody last night, that difference between being interested in a solution and being invested in a solution.
Ah,
do I just want to talk about my troubles and just keep plugging away?
Right.
Or do I actually want to do something to change? Some organizations really do want to change. They do want to flourish. They do want to succeed. And some of them really are too busy being afraid of the competition nipping at their heels to stop for just a moment and aim before they shoot.
Now, is that sometimes some of the early part of your conversation? Are you asking a brand new client or maybe even a potential client if they're interested or invested? Is that part of your early conversation?
Well, certainly when they have to, you know, cut a check, there's some investment there.
right. But for real change, are they invested in the real change? Are they just willing to write the check to the security monitor as opposed to
right,
the
remember,
security
this
guard?
Is, you said firms are paying for research, writing checks for research that they're not applying the results.
Absolutely. And it's often a case of where people do want the quick fix. That's a societal thing, like you're saying. It's not just companies. It's not just organizations.
Right.
Individuals. You know, I spent 25 years packing on 25 pounds and I want it all to be gone tomorrow, you know, and there is a little bit of that nature. There's also the nature of the fear of change. And sometimes it's the devil we know versus the devil we don't know.
Now, when it seems like at the heart of this, you're trying to uncover maybe the true reason for being for an organization.
Absolutely.
You got to kind of get into the really big why do we even exist and should we exist?
Mm-hmm.
And if we are to exist, is this how we should be doing things?
And that's terrifying to a lot of companies, especially ones that haven't thought about it. I mean, most individuals haven't stopped to say, what is my purpose?
Right.
The ones that have tend to be more obvious and shiny, you know, if you will. But you know, and there are certainly a lot of companies that are really looking at that. And that is a new component of marketing, I would say, over the last maybe 10 years or so, is there are agencies that are dedicated to purpose in organizations.
Now, companies that are focused on their why mm-hmm. and their purpose, they tend to use words like our community and our people, and they mean it in kind of a optimistic and almost like a family-like manner.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a common denominator? Do you see that happening more and more, that companies are creating this kind of embrace of their clients as their, you know, they want to take care of them and they want a mm-hmm. deeper relationship. They want to elevate their relationship beyond kind of a transaction.
Yeah, I think you're talking about something that is coming to be referred to as brand intimacy, where the customer and the, and I'll say the brand, but the organization identify with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's beyond purchase, it's beyond usage, it's beyond loyalty. I, as a consumer, identify myself with whatever.
Right, like some people are Apple people.
Or Mini people.
Right.
I mean, the community around the Mini car,
Cooper, right.
Oh my goodness.
Right, or Tesla.
They're,
or like, it's how they're kind of their position in the world is by certain items.
All their friends drive Minis. They go
right.
and hang out and drive their right. Minis together. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of brand intimacy and relevancy that is purpose-driven. It doesn't mean that you have to go feed the world in order to be serving a purpose.
Right.
But a lot of organizations stop with mission and vision, and they don't think about purpose. They don't even understand the difference between purpose and mission and vision.
So can you kind of define the terms?
Well, mission is what we do. It can be aspirational, but it's ultimately what we do as a company. And vision is where we're headed. That's kind of a no-brainer. Usually they confuse purpose with mission. The purpose, though, is the why. And a real fundamental, easy example that I use is, you could say mission is we build bricks. And vision is we're going to be the greatest brick builder in the world. But purpose would be we build cathedrals. So why are we making the bricks in the first place?
Right. So now, can any company like have that kind of a powerful why? Like if you're Joe CPA firm, or, you know, these boring companies.
That's your pejorative.
That's
there
my,
may not be
exactly. It's my bias
CPA.
Against CPA firms. Yes.
Disclaimer here,
it.
Right?
No, now I gotta fix this in post.
It's not a disclaimer.
Right?
It's a claimer.
Right.
I'm not disclaiming anything.
There
the,
goes our,
the opinions which were stated here were purely
are mine.
Those,
they're my opinion.
The Arthur Anderson sponsorship is out the window. I got look. Phone calls to make. Jeez.
In theory, yes. However, not every company actually probably does have a purpose. Many organizations, and you know, look, I've started two companies, well, make that three, in my time, and there's always that initial primary idea, I can do this, I can probably do this better than anybody. That's how a company starts.
Sure.
And it doesn't necessarily start with the why. But usually after that, there's a secondary thought, because the secondary thought comes in with a little bit of fear. How am I going to make money at this? Well, you know, I could go back and I could work for so-and-so, I could do this, but, you know, I can probably leverage my contacts and my funders, and we can do that. That's great. But less common is what I call the disruptive idea, that says, not only can I do this, I can do this in a unique way that really will serve a need that has not been served yet. And that's the why, the need that has not been served yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, Starbucks is a coffee company. Come on.
Right.
I mean, if you want to talk about boring, you know, but they took boring coffee and turned
and
it into
it.
A
right.
community experience around
right.
coffee. And most people that are there in Starbucks are working. It's their office away from their
right.
office. So they created purpose for themselves. Now, they also serve a lot of nonprofit purpose as well, which helps keep
right.
but the momentum.
You're exactly right. I mean, coffee before them was this thing at the diner that tasted terrible, that people made poorly in their home.
Yeah.
And now it's elevated into kind of a ritualistic part of people's day.
And actually, I think they kind of helped Dunkin' Donuts with that. You know, I don't like the dark roast. I like the mild roast. I want a lot of cream in my coffee. You know, I mean, but regardless, it becomes something that, again, with that brand intimacy, if you've got purpose, the user identifies with it. And that's where we want to take companies.
And that goes to your earlier point about marketing is everything.
It's the entire experience. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So now, how are you marketing your book?
I am marketing my book mostly through my speaking, mm-hmm. because ultimately what I want to be doing is teaching. Now I've got social media, you know, I've got my Twitter, I've got my Facebook page, and I've got all of that. But from a marketing standpoint, I want the words that are in the book to come to life in what I'm doing from my speaking, because I want people to be able to do exactly what you're doing, to be able to ask questions, to be able to interact, to be able to see themselves through this. And the book is one vehicle to get the ideas going, but I want to challenge people and organizations to do this differently.
Now, are you only targeting kind of these social entrepreneurs, or are you trying to challenge everybody and kind of encourage them to be social entrepreneurs?
Do you mean social entrepreneurs from a multimedia standpoint?
Right. Well, looking at their business more kind of in this different light.
In a purpose-driven light. Okay. So I would encourage organizations, and a lot of organizations are really going down this road. This is a trend that I think we're a little bit ahead of. I hope that it really is the trend that it looks like it's going to be. But more and more organizations are really looking at themselves this mm-hmm. way. And so, yes, I would say I am encouraging more organizations to do it, because the more organizations that can find their purpose, the more that our society is going to benefit as a result.
Right.
I mean, pure and simple.
Now, what is the pain the company's having where they might want to think about calling you or reading the book?
Well, certainly if they're feeling stuck, and like I said, you know, they've just been doing the same thing over and over again,
mm-hmm.
expecting different results, not happening. Definition of insanity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
So there has to be a certain level of pain and frustration to say, why isn't this working?
Mm-hmm.
So those are the guys that I want
to talk to. So if they're plateauing or they're struggling.
Absolutely.
Or maybe they're all of a sudden having challenges in areas they weren't having before. Maybe mm-hmm. it's time to get some fresh eyes on the matter and look at things a little differently.
Yeah. And it does require an organization stopping for a minute at a high level. I mean, you're talking about executives taking a day, 2 days, more of their time to dedicate to this. So there has to be enough pain for them to be willing to do that.
Right.
And stop churning for just a moment.
Right. And then when they read the book, they call you in. Is there homework to do before that day? Walk us through the process of when they...
No, I don't ask them to do homework before. I do ask them to roll up their sleeves and do a lot of brainstorming together during those sessions, and to describe every single issue that they're having. And there'll be a few that will come to the top immediately, but we don't stop there. We want to just clear house, and we take the time that it takes to do it. So I ask them to commit a day, but to be willing to commit more depending on how much needs to be looked at.
And then at the end, what do they get out of it? What is their outcome?
Well, the outcome is that they then have a completely different set of tactics and strategies that they have to then go and implement.
So that's what they get, is the tactic. So you mm-hmm. drilled it. Not only do you uncover it, you're kind of giving them an action plan.
A map to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, and look at the gunk that she's cleaning off. Because they're going to have so many assumptions in an organization mm-hmm. of any real size and complexity.
Absolutely.
If they don't do the occasional oil change, right? There's going to be gunk everywhere. These assumptions kind of, they clog the arteries, don't they?
Well, they do. And companies are dedicated far more, they're more inclined, let me put it that way. Companies are far more inclined to do a brand audit. And they're familiar with the term of a brand audit. Let me go look at all of the things that I'm doing branding-wise. My logo, my emails, my website, my stationery, whatever. All of these visual elements of the brand, and say, are they consistent? Are they coherent? Are they effective? Are they saying, are they telling our story correctly? They'll do that every 2 years easily, whether they need to or not. But they never stop and look at the assumptions that are driving behind that. And so the older the company, the more gunk. Pure and simple.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more and have a more substantive conversation, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, they can certainly find me through all means on my website, Stacey Ruth Says, StaceyRuthSays.com. And certainly my email is a favorite, Stacey@StaceyRuthSays.com.
And they can get the book. They can see other things you've written and learn about your speaking, the whole thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Workshops, the whole nine yards, and those assumption audits.
Oh.
If they're brave enough.
If you dare.
If you dare.
To tell the truth. That's Truth and Dare, Inside Out Marketing with Stacey Ruth. Thank you so much for being part of the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest today, Stacey Ruth, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.